Hi everyone, and welcome back to Into the Void. I'm your host Ant, and you join me today for episode number 34 of my weekly audio diary, in which I share my thoughts and observations about the world during this quite a traumatic period of human history, and also just some aspects of my own journeys through life. So thank you all for tuning in today. I hope you are all doing well, as always, and managing to thrive during these rather intense times, as I always say. So first of all, before I get into today's particular episode, I just want to share some content information. I recently had the pleasure of appearing on Niall Murphy's podcast on YouTube called Through an Opaque Lens. As you may or may not know, Niall has appeared on Discerning Consciousness podcast at least two or three times in the last couple of years. And so we had an interesting conversation, as always, quite a lot of humour and wit thrown in as well. So go along and check it out if you haven't already done so on Niall's channel on YouTube, as I was saying, Through an Opaque Lens. And hopefully you'll enjoy our attempt to put the worlds to right. Anyway, I just want to start today's episode where I'm going to pick up on a couple of news stories, really, or a couple of significant events. So first of all, of course, this is one that's been well trailed. We're all aware of the solar eclipse on April the 8th that will be seen or travelling across the North American continent, so Canada, the United States and Mexico. And if you do use social media, you probably, like me, seen loads of sort of lurid stories about what may or may not happen, what the much fabled deep state or the bad guys having planned for humanity on that day. And as you might expect, I don't really want to get caught up in any of the speculation as to what might or might not happen. I think we have these, as they call them, signature events throughout the year, and I'm not playing down the astrological significance of this particular solar eclipse. But if we think back to 2012 and other key dates in the calendar, they just constantly come and go, and it can be interesting to explore because I think I see them as like a marker in time, and we can think back to perhaps like 2012 and see how the changes we've seen in society and certain changes in archetypal expressions. But just back to my first thought, really, in terms of the kind of coverage that I've seen on social media, particularly Facebook, and also a lot of content on YouTube out there, is, I would say, sensationalist garbage, or perhaps I can say clickbait rubbish, with lurid predictions as to what might happen. I think this is a theme I return to a lot with my content. All that really matters right now in this particular moment, as you listen to me, whatever format you're listening, all that really matters is the conditions of our lives, the health, and of course our own health and well-being. So our homes, our dwellings, the work that we do, our relationships, our hobbies, the state of our, not only our physical health, but our spiritual and psychological well-being. I think when we do delve into things like this solar eclipse, which is travelling across the North American continent on April the 8th, whilst it can be fun to speculate and to listen to people, to listen to astrologers and various other people, I think it's important to remember that that our own personal lives should remain a priority. Not that there's anything wrong with a bit of escapism now and again. I think we do need that in life. But our own day-to-day lives and the events that happen will continue to inform us of the things that we need to attend to, especially during this time, as I've said. In recent months and recent times, there's not, I think, this sort of one thing that characterises this new era that we're in is that we can no longer run away from ourselves and bury our head in the sand. So it could be in our own day-to-day lives, difficult conversations that we know we need to have, that we're stalling on or running away from, or perhaps difficult decisions that we know might be unpopular with certain people in our lives. And none of these will change or alter on April the 9th, whatever does or doesn't happen. As we know, the work around selfhood, or to know thyself, perhaps I can put it like that, and that can just mean overcoming a lot of our fears that hold us back. That work, it never really ceases, to be honest, and it can feel quite relentless at times. So I do understand the impulse that we have to want to escape and to find ourselves spending hours online and listening to videos, wanting to escape this crazy world. I do understand that. But something else I just want to pick up in the light of this solar eclipse that's coming up in a few days' time, actually, now, not long, is just another aspect of what I regularly talk about, the truth or trap or black pill delusion, which Niall Murphy and I talk about in a recent conversation that we had, as I was saying at the beginning. It can sort of feed in if we focus too much on the negative aspects of what may or may not happen on April the 8th. Is it does sort of feed into a pessimistic view of life, and that life can feel hopeless because everything is a lie, and all high profile public figures, actors, musicians, etc., are all controlled, and they're all part of some secret, nasty, clandestine plot to enslave humanity. And yet again, whenever these sorts of events come around, and in the light of the bridge collapse in Baltimore, which I spoke about last time on Into the Void, there's people putting out images from Simpsons episodes, which in a lot of instances you can see they've been altered or photoshopped. But it's speaking to this idea that somehow Matt Groening and the Simpsons have predicted everything, all of these major events that have happened in the past and events that are going to happen in the future. And again, this sort of speaks to a very oversimplistic view of the world, and how when we do get lost in the truth or trap or aspects of the black pill delusion, I think we can fall under the spell of because we want to believe something, it doesn't necessarily make it true. So yes, maybe in a few instances, the Simpsons aspects of specific episodes have turned out to be true, but that doesn't mean that Matt Groening and the producers of the Simpsons are, you know, these superhumans who can, if I can put it like that, who can predict the future. And just lastly on this particular segment, I want to say there is a way in which that when we do become too pessimistic, ultimately I think we are giving our power away. And I think that also there is a certain type of person, and I know when I got lost down many rabbit holes in the past, principally because I was so angry and frustrated at the state of the world and the sleepwalking masses, or sheeple, as I may probably would have called them back in the day. And because I wanted something dramatic to happen, I thought that that would if that happened, then it would there'd be this sort of mass awakening somehow, as we saw during COVID. That doesn't necessarily happen because it's an individual journey at the end of the day. So I can relate to that sort of personality type that almost when these events like the solar eclipse, when these things come along, there's almost a craving for destruction and the annihilation, if I can put it like that, of humanity. Because I think in a way, if we can just return to a zero point, some people look at that and think, well, humanity is fated towards destruction anyway, because the deep state and the bad guys, as I was talking about earlier, they have this plot and it's just rolling out and there's nothing that we can do. So our future on this planet is screwed anyway. So, you know, why not have total destruction? Because at least I think people who get caught up in this way of thinking, they're focused, like I was, so much on external events that somehow if there's a big catastrophe in the world, it will give their life some sort of meaning. And on the one hand, they'll then be able to sort of cajole and make fun of people around them and say, well, look, see, I told you so. I told you so. I told you this was going to happen. And it's sort of one can gain a sense of empowerment from that. And again, I'm not immune to this kind of way of thinking. I remember, as I've said before, after the US presidential election in November 2020, I was convinced, as much as the alternative media was, that the stolen election and the fake presidency of Biden, Joe Biden, was going to be revealed to all, and on the inauguration in January the following year, 2021, all would be revealed. And of course it wasn't, because we're never gonna, we'll never see the great reveal or the great revealing or the great truth told to the masses out there in the external world. It's always going to be an internal process. And that's always what I bring my own understanding of life back to, is that it is and always will be, in spite of how crazy things get out there and become out there in the external world, it is an internal process. So the second news story or that I want to pick up on in today's episode is the introduction of new anti-hate speech laws, which have been happening for quite some time now, but most recently in Scotland, and a few months ago I think we had in Ireland, and recently I've seen on the news that Poland has recently introduced some really draconian so-called anti-hate speech laws. Anyway, in Scotland, so it was introduced by Hamza Youssef, the First Minister of Scotland, and bizarrely enough, literally within hours or days, people were making accusations against him for hate speech. There's a particular clip doing the rounds on social media at the moment of said Hamza Youssef, who is just another one of these sort of empty suit, bad actor politicians, as I call them. But in this particular clip in the Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh, which is a very impressive building, actually, well worth a visit if you ever found yourself in the fair city of Edinburgh in Scotland. So it's footage of him moaning and complaining about the fact that most of the institutions in Scotland, be it the fire service or the legal profession, that the senior people in posts in institutions across Scotland, including the judiciary, that they are all white. And this is how he says it. He emphasizes on the word white like that. And he goes through this whole monologue of how all of these positions are filled by white people. And it's really quite comical because official stats show that 96% of Scotland is white. So, of course, most of these figures would be white. Anyway, again, this sort of demonstrates the what can you say, the cartoon-esque element of the world that we live in, as we saw during COVID. And obviously, there's no such thing as hate speech, like there's no such thing as white privilege, like there's no such thing as unconscious racism or unconscious bias. These are all just aspects of cultural Marxism, which really, as we know, are about targeting white Europeans, because white Europeans are the enemy at the moment. And again, this so-called idea of hate speech or anti-hate speech laws is classic Orwellian social engineering, mind control, because I would argue it's really about, such laws are really about limiting the use of acceptable words, which inevitably leads to people self-censoring, as I find myself doing more and more. And it also serves to criminalise people who are angry or critical with government and the political establishment. Those people who are said to be acting on our behalf or serving the interests of the electorate, they can now hide behind another layer of legal protection. And they know only too well that society and institutions are falling apart. And I believe that we're just at the start of that process. So people more and more are going to become increasingly angry with politicians and the political establishment and non-governmental organisations and NGOs. So it's understandable that the authorities and the political institutions, political establishment, they want to outlaw hate. It's a way of sort of stymieing any reaction of anger from the public, which is obviously completely justified. So overall, it serves to protect the ruling class from the outrage that people are going to increasingly feel being governed by criminals, liars and charlatans. And I don't say that lightly. I'm sure there are one or two hard-working politicians, but as we saw during COVID again, the majority of them are criminals, liars and charlatans. So anyway, watch this space, as I'm sure the current round of anti-hate speech laws that have just been introduced in Scotland are only the beginning, and we're going to see more such craziness unfold in this Orwellian world that we live in, and this attempt to shut down people's opposition. So anyway, I'm going to move on now, and I want to give expression to another theme that I return to quite a lot in my content, and that's this notion or idea of what it means to be a true individual, someone who is sitting within their own personal sovereignty and acting from that point of balance. And we can say that in essence what that means is, as many people have spoken about over many years, is how we escape the hive mind. And I think that really is an important aspect of escaping the hive mind, the collective mind, is when we, as sovereign, true individuals, decide what has importance and meaning in our life. And part of that process begins when we start to deprogram ourselves from all of the social conditioning and mind control that we've had over the years, from when we were first born, that could be in the form of religions or religious teachings or even spiritual New Age teachings, from our own family of birth, from the culture that we were born into, the media, our own specific social class, ethnic and national characteristics as well, of course. Because part of escaping the hive mind, I believe, means that we can step into what is often described as having a clean or clear vessel. And that opens up, perhaps for the first time, almost like a connection or a channel to our higher self. And that's also when we get what people who channel would say is downloads or form of downloads. Because true sovereignty at the end of the day, also the scary aspect, that's why a lot of people don't choose it. And even for those of us who are keen to live as individuals, to live as sovereign beings, why it can be a real challenge and it can be easy to turn away from, is because at its core, it's about accepting the responsibility. There's no more hiding from ourselves or the world. No more playing the victim. No more blaming government or economic conditions for our plight. And part of that also means we're moving outside of the common emotions that the vast majority of people dwell in. And a central aspect of that is fear, social shame, an obsession with rank and status and grades and hierarchies. And again, we saw that during COVID, many people caved like a house of cards because they were ashamed of what their friends and family would think if they took their own independent choices around certain medical procedures. But also we can see why there's been a sort of continued popularity of social media at the end of the day, because it's all built around status. It's all built around rank. The more likes we get, the more follows we get, the more comments we get, we are said to be moving up the sort of social hierarchies that exist within society. But more and more, as we know, we do need to move beyond those, really, if we do want to move into a sense of objective reality. Because that does, as hard as it is to move into a sense of objective reality, I believe that there are many benefits and positives that can be gained from being a sort of new human, if you like, if I can put it like that. Because perhaps for the first time, we realise that there are really no limits in life. There are no limits to what we can achieve. I know that sounds like a cliche, but more and more I'm believing that is the case. Because along with true individuality and personal sovereignty, what we can gain is a heightened state of awareness. And we no longer exist within the limitations or confines of collective reality. And we can say that we've broken free from our self-imposed prison, as I spoke about recently, of course, in terms of the story of Truman Burbank in The Truman Show. And then also what I've picked up on more recently is kind of witnessing the universe being an integral part of my being. And that shows itself in signs and symbols. I've noticed recently seeing quite a lot of bees and robin redbreasts. And they seem to be animals or animal totems, if we think of shamanism, that do tend to turn up or show themselves to me when I feel that my energies are becoming heightened and more rarefied. And I think this is a way in which nature can and does speak to us. But of course, we always need to be aware and open to those possibilities, because when we get too lost in our minds and when we get too lost in what may or may not happen as a result of future events, we can easily miss the little signs that the universe is showing us. So I want to move on now. And in the last part of today's episode, I want to pick up on something that is being spoken about increasingly, and I've made reference to it without really giving any specific examples, and that's this idea of shadow mapping in a kind of Jungian sense, or the idea of bringing our shadow into our conscious awareness, which is also known as doing the inner work, of course. Now, I'm not going to share today a specific body of teaching. I'm going to share what I picked up in my own life in recent years, and it just is like a recurrent theme. So perhaps it does fall under the banner or the category of some form of teaching, but I'm not sure. But all I can say is something that just keeps happening to me over and over. Because when we do, I think that from my own understanding, that a key aspect of life really is about, in terms of shadow mapping, is recognizing the underdeveloped aspects of our own personality. And I think that is kind of perhaps before we incarnate, they are some of the lessons that we incarnate to learn. So like, it could mean that we choose as a person a specific personality type. Like for me, I've always been a very sort of quiet and quite withdrawn person, although in recent years I've become more outspoken. But part of that sort of quiet personality is a lack of self-confidence, and I've always looked to others to sort of to give my life meaning, to validate myself. But part of this sort of incarnating to learn certain lessons means, until we cotton on to those sort of concepts, life can really be quite a lot of struggles, and we go through a lot of pain and trauma. As many people say, living inauthentically, which I was just talking about, or not being true to ourselves, it can bring a lot of problems in life and unnecessary suffering. And as I was just saying, my own life history, when I look back, typically I have looked to others sort of in positions of authority to make me feel okay about myself. And this sort of lack of self-confidence has expressed itself in that when I've been in stressful situations in life, as we all experience, of course, I've always looked to others to take the lead, maybe to remove me when I was a child from specific traumatic situations, or as an adult, looking towards others to take that action in order to resolve the situation. And that's really been driven by a chronic lack of self-belief. And when I was a child into early adulthood, a real chronic sense of self-loathing as well. And what that's meant was, until recent years, and I've come to this awareness, and I've been able to change my behaviour and how I relate to people, was a life really of a chronic dissatisfaction and unfulfilment and discontentment. And a lot of this led to a lot of conflict, anger and resentment in my interpersonal relationships, romantic relationships, friendships, and kind of relationships with family as well. Often falling prey to narcissists and very controlling individuals as well, which is an aspect of perhaps being the outsider, as the writer Colin Wilson spoke about many years ago, or maybe even, far be it from me, aspects of being a light worker, maybe an indigo soul. That sounds a bit pretentious. That would be for other people to decide, of course. But I would just say, unknowingly, I was sort of setting up these, how should we say, unhealthy relationships with people, and therefore situations in life. And it became very much a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I was not stepping into my empowerment, and because I was not taking charge of my life, I was often felt angry and disappointed by life, because I didn't realize that I was responsible for what was going on. I was responsible for these situations. And if I can just explain it in a more kind of micro sense, let's get to the juice here. I believe that what happens is, when we don't own aspects of our being, when we disavow perhaps I can put it like that, aspects of our personality, as I've been saying, coming from, not stepping into my empowerment, playing small. I believe what happens, like a fragment of us breaks off, and then somehow what happens, because obviously people around us are mirrors, they are mirrors to us. And I think what happens, we then meet people in life and we then go through situations which serve as mirrors to those undeveloped aspects of ourselves. And that can obviously, that can feel extremely traumatic. Like for me, I've often dealt with quite controlling people, but that's because I haven't, historically at least, I haven't dealt with that aspect of myself, whereby I often play small, I often look to other people. So that's meant that in the past, I've not wanted to take on responsibility in jobs or managerial roles or managerial type responsibilities, perhaps I can say. So that's why I've often encountered very, how should we say, harsh and controlling managers. And I think this isn't, for just to try and flesh this out a bit, try and make it easy to understand, this doesn't mean that we're being punished or God or a higher self is punishing us. I just think it means that our universe or our higher self is trying to bring our attention to something that we're not aware of, as harsh as that can feel, and it can lead to quite difficult experiences. But I have found in recent years, once you do understand what's going on in terms of mirrors, everyone else being mirrors to those aspects of ourselves or our personalities that we are in denial of, or also just further to add, perhaps that's super helpful, I think we tend to live now in a society where there's a lot of encouragement around therapies, healing and all the rest of it, but where we say, well, this is just me, this is my personality. And I believe that is true to some extent, but I still, that doesn't mean, that doesn't give us a free card. So, you know, the flip of side of what I'm talking about, if someone is very controlling, if they always take the lead, if they tend to, find that other people are weak and passive, perhaps they need to embrace aspects of their personality which are more centered around nurturing and sometimes taking a backseat and not always being the one that makes the difficult decisions that need to be made. So all of everything that I'm talking about really in terms of this aspect of shadow mapping is how we do become, just referring back to what I was talking about, true sovereign, empowered individuals, is coming back into balance, coming from our centre. And that means also having a balanced personality. So I just wanted to share that today. And I'll go into greater detail in my content in future, obviously, because this is quite an in-depth conversation that deserves or warrants much more discussion, because I think it can be very helpful. It has helped me. And just lastly, in today's episode, I want to say that I think one of the reasons why there appears to be so much pain, so much confrontation, so much polarization on the planet is because For all of us, as the energies intensify out on the planet, I'll just put it in those simplistic terms so I can understand it as much as anything else. This turning away from our true self, as I've just been talking about, as I was doing for many years, is becoming more and more and more painful because the mirrors that everyone else is pointing towards us is becoming more and more intensified as we go through this period of rapid change on the planet. And that's why sometimes I think it can be helpful to remember that and not to take things too personally if people are being quite challenging or aggressive towards us. But the flip side is, just want to finish on this point, of course we shouldn't, that doesn't mean that we should ever tolerate narcissistic or abusive relationships or abusive behaviors in any way. We should always call that out, of course, even though I believe that those people around us are acting as mirrors. And I know this aspect, as I spoke about a couple of years ago in an episode I did about how spiritual teachings or spiritual truths can be taken out of context by manipulative people or charlatans and then used to abuse people. And unfortunately, that has been quite a chronic aspect of many spiritual kind of groups over the years, and a lot of that is coming out now. So that is something that we always need to be aware of when having these kind of conversations about shadow mapping. Anyway, I think I'll leave it there for today's episode. Thank you always for tuning in. I hope what I've shared today has had some sort of resonance. I get my words out with where you find yourself in life right now. So I will speak to you all again very soon. Bye for now.